Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to ancient Israel.
Okay.
And the words of the prophet Hosea.
Sounds good.
Specifically, we're going to unpack some fascinating insights from Session 8.
Okay.
Of Dr. John Oswalt's lectures on Hosea,
right,
focusing on Chapter 9.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Oswalt's a respected theologian.
Mm-hmm.
And his take on Hosea's message is surprisingly relevant to us even today.
I can imagine.
You might be thinking, what could an ancient prophet possibly have to say to me in 2025?
Right.
Trust me, you're going to be surprised by how much this resonates.
Yeah, it's easy to dismiss these ancient texts,
right,
as irrelevant to us today. But
yeah,
the themes that Hosea tackles, things like misplaced trust,
yeah,
hypocrisy,
yeah,
sucking fulfillment in the wrong places.
Right.
These are timeless human struggles.
Absolutely.
And I think Dr. Oswalt does a brilliant job.
He does.
Connecting those ancient issues to our modern experiences.
One of the things that struck me was how Dr. Oswalt uses these everyday objects,
yeah,
of ancient Israel,
right, mm-hmm,
threshing floors and wine presses,
right,
to illustrate deeper spiritual concepts.
That's a great point. You know, he explains how these places,
yeah,
so central to the agricultural life,
right,
of the Israelites, also held this religious significance.
Right.
The threshing floors, often located on hilltops,
okay,
became associated with worship,
mm-hmm,
and thanksgiving,
right,
for a bountiful harvest.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the wine presses down,
yeah,
in the valleys.
Right.
They were tied to celebrations,
right,
and even fertility rituals.
It's fascinating how these ordinary places,
yeah,
became intertwined with their spiritual lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes Hosea's message even more powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's talking about how the Israelites took these places,
yeah,
that should have been sacred,
right,
and turned them into centers of sin and idolatry.
Exactly. It's like they were trying to blend their worship of God,
right,
with the practices of their neighbors,
mm-hmm,
a concept called syncretism.
Right.
But the problem was the God of Israel demanded absolute loyalty,
right,
unlike the more flexible pantheons of,
yeah,
other cultures.
So they were trying to have it both ways, hedging,
yeah,
their bets.
Mm-hmm.
So what were some of the specific sins,
okay,
that Dr. Oswalt identifies in Hosea chapter 9?
Well, Hosea, it paints a pretty bleak picture.
Yeah.
He talks about their unfaithfulness to God, their dabbling in pagan practices,
right,
like those fertility rituals,
yeah,
likely happening at the threshing floors,
whoa,
and wine presses.
Oh, wow.
Which is disgust.
Yeah.
But it goes beyond that.
Okay.
They were placing their trust in political alliances,
mm-hmm,
with powerful nations, like,
yeah,
Assyria and Egypt.
Right.
Instead of relying on God.
That's such a human tendency, isn't it?
Actually,
to look for security and stability in things other than God.
Yeah.
I feel like we do the same thing today.
Mm-hmm.
Putting our faith in things like political ideologies or financial security or even technology.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Dr. Oswalt says, you know, these things will not feed the people.
Right.
They won't bring true satisfaction.
He also talks about the emptiness of their religious rituals.
Yeah.
How they were just going through the motions,
right,
without genuine devotion. It's,
mm-hmm,
like that feeling when you're stuck in a rut, you know, maybe at work or even scrolling through social media, and,
yeah,
everything feels meaningless,
yeah,
lacking any real purpose.
That's a powerful connection.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what Hosea is condemning,
right,
this kind of empty ritualism, the hypocrisy of performing religious acts,
right,
where their hearts are far from God,
mm-hmm,
their sacrifices and offerings are meaningless,
yeah,
because they're just an act.
Right. And this lack of sincerity, this,
yeah,
corruption of their thinking,
yeah,
even led them to reject the warnings of the prophets,
yeah,
right?
Dr. Oswalt points out,
yeah,
that the Israelites saw the prophet as a fool.
Wow.
Their judgment was so clouded by their sin that they couldn't recognize truth anymore.
Like they were just completely,
yeah,
blinded.
Mm.
It makes you wonder, are there things in our own culture,
right,
that we've become so accustomed to,
yeah,
so desensitized to,
mm-hmm,
that we no longer recognize their harmful nature?
It's a sobering thought.
It is.
And to really drive home the depth of their corruption.
Right.
Dr. Oswalt brings up that horrific story from the Judges 19.
Yeah.
The account of the Levite and his concubine.
It's a brutal and disturbing story, one,
yes,
that highlights the depravity,
right,
that can result when a society turns away from God and,
yeah,
embraces its own selfish desires.
Right.
It's a stark reminder,
yeah,
of what can happen when we lose our moral compass.
Absolutely.
It definitely makes you appreciate the gravity,
yeah,
of what Hosea was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the midst of this darkness,
right,
Dr. Oswald points to a glimmer of hope,
mm-hmm.
God's enduring love for his people.
Yes.
He uses that beautiful analogy of finding Israel being like finding grapes in the desert.
It's a beautiful image, isn't it?
It is.
It speaks to God's delight in choosing Israel, mm-hmm. his willingness to seek them out.
Yeah.
Even when they were wandering in the wilderness.
It's a powerful reminder that even when we stray, mm-hmm. God's love for us doesn't diminish.
Right.
He's always there,
yeah.
waiting for us to return to him.
Absolutely.
I'm curious to explore that analogy further, to understand what it means for us today.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, I think we need to take a closer look at what led to Israel's downfall.
Okay.
Dr. Oswald talks about how they were seduced mm-hmm. by the worship of Baal-Peor,
right?
The Moabite god.
That's right. And it's particularly tragic.
Yeah.
Because it happened after they had already experienced God's blessings.
Mm-hmm.
They turned away from the one who had rescued them,
mm-hmm.
who had provided for them.
Right.
And instead dedicated themselves to this.
It's almost unthinkable.
I know.
Yeah.
To this shameful thing, as Dr. Oswald puts it.
It's a powerful reminder that even when we've tasted God's goodness, we're still vulnerable to temptation. We can still choose to chase after empty promises.
Absolutely. And we see the consequences of those choices play out in Hosea's prophecy. He foretells some pretty harsh consequences for Israel, including the loss of their children.
Wow.
And Dr. Oswald is clear.
Yeah.
Sin always has consequences.
Which brings us back to that connection to our modern world.
Right.
When we look around, we see the consequences of sin everywhere.
Yeah.
Broken families, violence, addiction, social unrest.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stark reminder that our choices have ripple effects.
Absolutely.
Not just on our own lives, but on the world around us.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And it's easy to feel overwhelmed by the darkness.
It is.
Wonder if we're doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here? Well, what's the takeaway for us?
I think it's important to remember that Hosea chapter 9
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
is not the end of the story.
Okay.
There's still hope.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
This chapter has been pretty heavy stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. What gives you hope in light of all this?
Well, I find hope in the fact that even in the midst of judgment,
mm-hmm.
God's love and mercy shine through.
Right.
He's always offering us a way back to himself.
Yeah.
A path to restoration and healing.
That's reassuring. And it reminds me of that story Dr. Oswald tells mm-hmm. about the man running into the church yelling, "I've read the last chapter. We win."
Yes.
It's like a reminder to keep our eyes fixed on the bigger picture.
Right.
On God's ultimate plan for redemption.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we hold on to that hope
right.
when surrounded by so much darkness and brokenness?
Well, I think it starts with remembering that we're not alone in this.
Mm-hmm.
We have a God who loves us.
Right.
Who pursues us.
Yeah.
Who promises to never leave us or forsake us.
It's easy to forget that sometimes.
Yes.
Especially when we're caught up in the day-to-day struggles of life.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we stay connected to God?
Right.
How do we cultivate that relationship with him when it feels like everything is pulling us in different directions?
I think it starts with making a conscious choice.
Okay.
To prioritize our relationship with God.
Mm.
That means making time for prayer,
right?
For studying his word,
yeah.
For being part of a community of believers
mm-hmm.
who can encourage and support us.
Because when we're rooted in God's love, we can face anything that life throws our way.
Exactly. We can have that eternal optimism that Dr. Oswald talks about,
mm-hmm.
knowing that even if things seem bleak right now, God is working behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
bringing about his purposes.
So it's not about blind faith. It's about trusting in God's character,
mm-hmm.
knowing that he is good
yeah.
and that he is always working for our good,
right?
Even when we can't see it.
Absolutely.
But let's be honest, sometimes it's hard to trust.
It is.
When we're faced with difficult circumstances,
yeah,
when it feels like God is distant or silent,
right?
How do we navigate those moments of doubt and uncertainty?
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge those feelings,
okay,
to bring them before God in prayer,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and to seek his guidance through his word,
right?
And through the wisdom of other believers.
Yeah.
Sometimes our faith is tested. And that's okay.
Right.
It's in those moments of wrestling with doubt
mm-hmm.
that our faith can actually grow stronger.
That's a really helpful perspective.
Yeah.
It's not about denying the struggle.
Right.
But about leaning into our relationship with God, even when it's hard.
Absolutely.
So as we continue this deep dive, I think it's important for us to unpack this idea of hope in the face of adversity a little bit more.
I agree. And I think a good place to start is with that analogy of God finding Israel,
mm-hmm.
like finding grapes in the desert.
Right.
What do you think Dr. Oswald is trying to convey?
Well, we've talked about how it represents God's delight in choosing Israel, his willingness to seek them out,
Right.
even when they were wandering in the wilderness.
But I think it goes even deeper than that.
Okay.
I think it speaks to the very nature of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
It's a love that pursues us relentlessly.
Yeah.
A love that doesn't give up on us, even when we've strayed.
Right.
It's like he can't help but be drawn to us.
Yeah.
Like a traveler parched in the desert.
Right.
Who stumbles upon a vine laden with juicy grapes.
That's a beautiful image.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of the parable of the lost sheep,
mm-hmm.
where the shepherd leaves the 99 to go after the one that's gone astray.
Right.
It's that same relentless love,
yes.
that same willingness to pursue us,
mm.
even when we've wandered far from home.
Exactly. And I think that's a really important message for us today.
Yeah.
No matter how far we've strayed from God,
mm.
no matter how lost we may feel.
Right.
He's always there waiting for us with open arms.
That's so encouraging.
Yeah.
It reminds us that even in the midst of judgment,
mm-hmm.
God's love and mercy are always available to us.
Absolutely.
Before we move on, I want to circle back to something that you said earlier
yeah.
about the Israelites dedicating themselves to that shameful thing,
right.
the worst of Baal Peor.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Dr. Oswalt is trying to highlight with that phrase?
I think he's pointing to the intentional nature of sin.
Hmm.
You know, we often think of sin as simply making mistakes or falling short.
Right.
But sometimes it's about making a deliberate choice.
Mm-hmm.
To turn away from God and embrace something.
Yeah.
And that's harmful.
It's like we can actually become enamored with sin.
Yeah.
So blinded by its allure that we lose sight of the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
We become so focused on chasing after those grapes in the desert.
Right.
That we forget about the source of true nourishment.
That's a powerful way to put it.
Yeah.
And it's something we need to be aware of.
Absolutely.
In our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that we've allowed to become idols in our hearts?
Right.
What are the shameful things that we've dedicated ourselves to?
These are tough questions.
They are.
But important ones to consider.
Absolutely.
It's like we need to regularly examine our hearts mm-hmm. to identify those areas where sin has taken root.
Right.
And to make a conscious choice to turn back to God.
Absolutely. And it's not always easy.
Right.
It requires intentionality. And effort,
mm-hmm.
but it's a process worth embarking on.
So as we move forward in this deep dive,
okay.
I want to encourage you to reflect on what we've discussed so far.
Mm.
Think about the shameful things that may have taken root in your own life.
Yeah.
Think about the things that you're placing your trust in
mm-hmm.
that will not feed you.
Yeah.
And remember, God is always there waiting for us to return to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the true source of hope.
Absolutely.
Of joy, of fulfillment.
He is. It's
yeah.
interesting
yeah.
that we've been talking about the consequences of sin.
Right.
And how it can lead to some pretty dark places.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Oswalt also points out
yeah.
that even in the midst of judgment,
right.
Hosea doesn't completely shut the door on hope.
That's right. Even as he's condemning Israel's action.
Mm.
Hosea weaves in these glimmers of God's mercy
right.
and longing for his people.
Yes.
It's like he's saying, look, you've messed up, but I still love you. I haven't given up on you.
That's so powerful.
It is.
It's like even when we feel like we've blown it.
Yeah.
God's love is still there.
Right.
Like a steady beacon in the darkness.
Exactly. And I think that's where that analogy of the grapes in the desert comes in.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about how it represents God's delight in choosing Israel,
mm-hmm.
but it also reveals something about the nature of his love.
Yeah.
It's a love that seeks us out,
mm-hmm.
even when we're lost and wandering.
It's like God is actively searching for us.
Right.
Like a shepherd searching for a lost sheep.
Mm-hmm.
He's not content to just sit back and wait for us to come to him.
Right.
He goes out of his way to find us.
Yes. And I think that's a really encouraging message for us today.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how far we've strayed,
right.
no matter how lost we feel,
yeah.
God is still pursuing us.
Absolutely.
His love hasn't diminished.
It's a love that doesn't keep score.
Right.
That doesn't hold our past mistakes against us.
But what about the consequences of our actions?
Right.
We can't just ignore those, can we?
Of course not. Actions have consequences.
Right.
And we have to take responsibility for our choices.
Mm-hmm.
But even when we're facing the consequences of our sin,
right.
God's grace is still available to us.
Mm.
He can bring good out of even the most difficult situations.
So it's not about escaping the consequences.
Right.
It's about facing them with God by our side.
Yes.
Knowing that he can use even our failures for his purposes.
Absolutely.
That's where that eternal optimism Dr. Oswalt talks about comes into play, right?
Absolutely. It's about trusting
yeah.
that even when things seem bleak,
mm-hmm.
God is still in control. He's still working behind the scenes,
yeah.
even if we can't see it.
But that's easier said than done, isn't it?
It is.
How do we cultivate that kind of trust,
right.
that kind of hope, mm-hmm. when we're surrounded by so much brokenness and brokenness?
Yeah.
it can feel overwhelming sometimes.
I think it starts with remembering that we're not alone in this.
Mm-hmm.
We have God on our side.
Right.
We have His Spirit living within us,
yeah,
guiding us, comforting us.
But sometimes it feels like God is distant or silent,
right?
Like He's not listening.
Yeah.
How do we navigate those moments of doubt and uncertainty?
I think those moments are a normal part of the faith journey.
Okay.
It's okay to doubt, to question, to wrestle with God.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, sometimes it's through those struggles,
right,
that our faith grows stronger.
So it's not about pretending that everything is okay,
right,
or ignoring the difficult questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's about bringing those questions to God.
Yes.
Being honest with Him about our doubts and fears.
Exactly. And it's also about seeking support from other believers.
Right.
We're not meant to go through this alone.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other to encourage us, to pray for us, to help us carry our burdens.
That's so important. Having that community of faith can make all the difference,
mm-hmm,
especially when we're facing challenges.
Right.
But I think it's also important to remember that hope isn't just about feeling good or positive all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes hope requires us to face some hard truths.
You're absolutely right. Hope isn't about ignoring reality.
Right.
Or pretending that everything is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's about choosing to believe that even in the midst of suffering,
yeah,
even in the midst of brokenness,
right,
God is still at work.
And that He can bring beauty out of ashes.
Yes.
That He can redeem even the darkest moments of our lives.
Yes. And that's where the story of the man running into the church, yelling, "I've read the last chapter, we win," becomes so relevant.
Right.
He may not have understood all the details,
mm-hmm,
but he trusted in the ultimate outcome.
Right.
He had that internal optimism,
yes,
that we've been talking about.
It's like a reminder to keep our eyes fixed on the bigger picture.
Right.
On God's ultimate plan for redemption.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we do that in a practical sense? How do we live out that hope in our everyday lives?
I think it starts with small steps.
Right.
It's about choosing to see the good even when things are tough.
Right.
It's about finding ways to bring light into the darkness,
mm,
to offer compassion and grace to those around us.
It's about focusing on those grapes in the desert,
mm-hmm,
those glimmers of God's presence and goodness,
right,
that we can find even in the midst of difficult circumstances.
Exactly. And it's about remembering that we're not just passive recipients of hope.
Right.
We're called to be agents of hope,
mm-hmm,
to share that hope with others.
So it's not just about feeling hopeful ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being a source of hope for others.
Yeah.
About helping them to see that even in the darkest of times,
mm-hmm,
God is still at work.
Right.
His love is still present.
Yes.
And His grace is still sufficient.
Beautifully said. And I think that leads us perfectly into our final takeaway for this deep dive.
Okay.
But before we get to that, I want to touch on one more point.
Okay.
That Dr. Oswalt makes about the nature of sin.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how the Israelites dedicated themselves to that shameful thing.
Right.
The worship of Baal Peor.
You know, that phrase has really stuck with me.
Mm.
It suggests a level of intentionality,
mm,
a conscious choice to turn away from God,
yeah,
and embrace something that is ultimately destructive.
Right. It's like they weren't just stumbling into sin.
Right.
They were actively choosing it,
mm-hmm,
embracing it,
right,
making it a part of their lives.
And I think that's a really important distinction to make.
It is.
We often talk about sin as if it's something that just happens to us,
mm-hmm,
like a slip or a fall.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's a deliberate choice.
Right.
It's a decision to put something else, our own desires, our own comfort, our own ambitions,
right,
ahead of God.
And that's a dangerous place to be.
It is.
Because when we make a conscious decision to embrace sin,
right,
we're essentially saying that we know better than God.
Mm-hmm.
We're rejecting His authority, His wisdom, His love.
And that's what leads to all those consequences we talked about earlier, the
right,
brokenness, the pain, the separation from God.
Exactly. But the good news is that even when we've made those wrong choices,
right,
God is always there waiting for us to turn back to Him.
Mm-hmm.
His grace is always available.
It's like that story of the prodigal son who squandered his inheritance and ended up in a pigsty.
Right.
Even then, his father welcomed him back with open arms.
That's a perfect example.
Yeah.
It's never too late to turn back to God.
Right.
He's always ready to forgive, to restore, to heal.
So as we move towards our final takeaway for this deep dive.
Okay.
Let's take a moment to reflect on those areas where we may have dedicated ourselves to that shameful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's ask God to reveal those hidden idols in our hearts.
Yeah.
Those things that we've allowed to take His place.
And let's choose to turn away from those things,
mm-hmm,
and turn back to God.
Right.
Let's choose to embrace His love, His grace, His hope.
Because ultimately, that's where true fulfillment is found.
It is.
Not in the things of this world.
Right.
But in a relationship with the God who created us and loves us more than we can ever imagine.
Absolutely.
It's pretty amazing how Dr. Oswald connects these ancient themes to our model experiences.
Yeah.
It's like he's holding up a mirror, you know,
right,
helping us to see ourselves more clearly.
I agree. And one of the most powerful reflections I see is this idea that chasing after empty promises, seeking satisfaction in things that can't truly fulfill us.
Right.
It's a struggle that transcends time and culture.
It really does. It makes me think of Dr. Oswald's point about the Israelite relying on things other than God. He said they will not feed the people.
Yeah.
Referring to how those pagan practices and alliances wouldn't bring true satisfaction.
That phrase really gets to the heart of it, doesn't it? It's like we can spend our whole lives chasing after things.
Right.
Possession, status, approval, and still end up feeling empty and unfulfilled.
It's so easy to get caught up in that pursuit.
Yeah.
Especially in today's world where we're constantly bombarded with messages about what will make us happy.
It is. We're told that we need to buy more, achieve more, look a certain way.
Right.
All to fill that void within us.
Yeah.
But as Dr. Oswald reminds us, true satisfaction can only be found in a relationship with God.
So how do we break free from that cycle?
Right.
Of chasing after empty promises?
Yeah.
How do we find that true fulfillment that Dr. Oswald's talking about?
I think it starts with recognizing the emptiness of those pursuits.
Right.
It's about taking a step back and asking ourselves,
okay,
is this really bringing me joy? Is this really satisfying my deepest needs?
And then I guess it's about turning our attention to those things that do nourish our souls, those things that align with God's design for our lives.
Exactly. It's about cultivating a relationship with God through prayer, through studying His Word, through seeking His guidance in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's about finding our identity and purpose in Him rather than in the fleeting things of this world.
Dr. Oswald talks about living with eternal optimism.
Yes.
Trusting that God can bring good even out of difficult situations.
Mm.
What does that look like for you?
Okay.
Especially when faced with the darkness and brokenness we see in the world today.
For me, it's about choosing to see the world through the lens of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's tempting to give in to cynicism or despair.
Right.
It's about remembering that God is still at work.
Yeah.
Even when we can't see it, it's about finding those grapes in the desert.
Right.
Those glimmers of His goodness and grace that are all around us if we just take the time to notice them.
I love that. It's like choosing to focus on the light even when surrounded by darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think of that story Dr. Oswald shared about the man running into the church.
Right.
Shouting, "I've read the last chapter. We win."
Yes, that story perfectly captures that spirit of eternal optimism.
Yeah, it does.
It's a reminder that even when we don't have all the answers,
right,
even when we're going through difficult times, we can still hold on to the hope that God is in control and that He has a good plan for our lives.
So it's not just about blindly believing that everything will be okay.
Right.
It's about trusting in God's character, knowing that He is good and that He's working all things together for our good.
Absolutely.
Even when we can't see how.
It's a truth.
Yeah.
That can sustain us through any challenge, any adversity, any darkness.
Well, as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to thank you for joining us on this journey into the heart of Hosea chapter 9.
It's been great.
I hope you're leaving with a renewed sense of hope.
Yeah.
A deeper understanding of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps a little bit of that eternal optimism that Dr. Oswald spoke of.
It's been a privilege to explore these timeless truths with you.
Yeah.
And remember, the journey doesn't end here.
That's right.
Keep seeking, keep exploring, keep diving deep into the riches of God's Word.
And if you want to learn more from Dr. Oswald, we highly recommend checking out his full lecture series on Hosea.
Mm-hmm.
It's packed with insights that will challenge and inspire you. Until next time, keep seeking truth and keep the faith.